I do want to talk with you a little bit about stewardship. And to do that, I'd like us to look at Isaiah in the 55th chapter. The first four verses, and then the, let me make sure I'm doing this right, then the 10th through 13th verses. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. I've been honest from up front on this. This is a stewardship sermon, and we do these at least once a year. It's, you know, it's something that is a part of our tradition, and we always do it as a part of the season of Thanksgiving because we like to closely link our stewardship with our gratitude for God. But I don't want you to be mistaken about what stewardship is, because sometimes people think of stewardship as being fundraising. That what I am charged to do with you is to challenge you to meet a budget that we've set for the year 2015. But that's not what stewardship is about. I mean, it would be a lot easier. It would be a lot easier for Darren and myself if stewardship was all about fundraising. Because there are 1,000 different ways to do fundraising. Fundraising is an art and a science in and of itself. Since my mom got ill and then subsequently after her death, her mail has been coming to my house. And one of the things that I learned about my mother in taking over her checkbook and taking over her mail was there is not a charitable institution in the United States of America that my mother has not sent a check to. At some point in time, there are in every day's mail one request for a contribution, and one day it hit the height of 12 requests in one day from everybody and their brother under the sun, organizations we're all familiar with, and a lot of them that I never ever heard of before, but Mom contributed to them regularly. And one of the I've been getting them and I've been opening them up and looking at them and thinking about them, I've noticed that they're very good at what they do. They're very good at fundraising. They're excellent at it. They know exactly how to encourage you to give and so on. Like for instance, in fundraising, when you get a request from an organization and they want you to give to them, have you ever noticed how they have on there, you know, can you give, you know, $10, $25, $50, and so on? What I have learned is that they are looking for you to give the middle amount. That's their target for you. Because they know that if they put out three or four different amounts on the card, you're not going to send in the lowest amount because nobody wants to be the cheapskate. You're not going to send in the highest amount because nobody wants to be the highest giver. you're going to send the middle amount. 75% of the time, that's what people will do. They'll send the middle amount. And actually, one of the ones I got this past week, they actually circled the middle amount for you so that you wouldn't miss out on that. Another trick that they do, I shouldn't say trick, another technique that they use. Another technique that they use is by putting something in the request envelope with the request for funds from you. Several of them will put the postage stamps on the return envelope because they know that those of us who are frugal will not want to waste those postage stamps. They've made an investment, we got to match their investment, and so they know that they get a higher percentage of people who will return that gift card with a gift because there are stamps on there. Another technique that they use, see, I have learned a lot. It's just been kind of fun to learn all these things. When they're doing fundraising, if they include, there's one organization that sends 6 cents, a nickel and a penny, in the request. And what they have discovered is that we do not want to accept money from somebody else. And so we will send them a check back because we don't want to take their money. We don't want to be a detriment to them. And so we will send them a check back. And so all I'm trying to say here is that fundraising is actually fairly simple. It's fairly easy. You can learn how to do fundraising, and there are techniques and there are manners in which to do it that help to motivate people to give in order to attain to the budget that one wants to attain to. And so I'm honest when I'm saying that if it were all about fundraising, Darren's and my job would be real easy. We would send you pledge cards, and it would have, here's what we expect you to give during the week, every week, and we'd have the middle one circled for you, and you'd send it back in. We'd include some coins in it so because you don't want to, take money from the church. And, there's all sorts of things that we could do. But it's not about fundraising. Stewardship never is about fundraising. It's important to make the budget. It's important to do the things that we as a church desire to do in the year ahead, to do all the missions and ministries that we have hopes and dreams and plans for doing in 2015. That is important, and I don't want to diminish that. But what is more important is how we live our lives. And stewardship is ultimately about how it is that we live our lives. What motivates us? What challenges us? What is it that gets us going every day? What is it that we find to be the priorities in how we are living our lives? And what stewardship ultimately comes down to for you and me is whether or not we understand fully and completely what it is that God has done for us, and how do we respond to what God has done for us. The prophet Isaiah, in this marvelous 55th chapter, I think in a very real sense is trying to help us to understand what stewardship really is all about. Because the prophet starts off with reminding us that God gives us what we need. Come, eat and drink at no cost. We read that, and of course we're going like, yeah, show me that grocery store, and I'll go there every week. But it's all about what God provides for us, what God gives to us. The readers of Isaiah, those who heard Isaiah in his time, would have hearkened their minds back to God's providence to the people in the wandering of the wilderness, the manna that came down, the water that came forth from the rocks, and so on, and how God provided for their every need. That would have hearkened them back to that. For those of us reading it in this day and age, doesn't it kind of bring to your mind the person and work of Jesus Christ? Wasn't it Jesus who was called the bread of life? Wasn't it Jesus who told the woman at the well to drink of the water that she would never thirst again? Freely given. Gifts freely given to us for the living of our lives. The grace of God in our hearts and in our lives. That ultimately what we actually need is always a gift from God. The gift of His love, so freely given through Jesus Christ. If we get that, if we understand that, then that changes how we perceive our lives. It changes what we perceive to be important. It becomes less about the things that we can get, and it becomes more about what we can do, how it is that we can live our lives in such a way that it shows our gratitude, that shows our gratitude to God for what He has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I've had, over the years, a number of people debating with me as to whether or not, as Christians, we need to follow the Old Testament prescription of a tithe. And my answer always still comes back to this, that yes, the New Testament does not ask us to tithe. But if you look carefully at the New Testament, it asks us to respond to what God has done for us. And I look, and one of the things that I see is the early church did something really amazing. Now, I'm not offering it as a model for us, but if you look into the Acts of the Apostles, and that is the story of the early church, and one of the things that it says, and it makes us kind of like sit up and listen, is it says that the followers of Jesus gathered together, and they sold everything that they owned. They put it into one pool, and then they used it to help those who were in need. Now, I'm not suggesting that as a model for us. As a matter of fact, if you came up to me after the service today and said, Steve, the Lord spoke to my heart and He told me I'm supposed to sell everything that I own and give it to you to manage and give it away, I would talk you out of it. I wouldn't want to, but I would talk you out of it. But it tells me that in the early church, they were so touched by the love of Jesus Christ, so touched by the gift so freely given to them, that they could not help but respond to it by changing how they lived, by repenting, by repenting.